Go back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 12 and 13. Verse 12, Paul says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh." Then in verse 13, "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Putting to death the deeds of the body is characteristic of somebody who is living. In other words, it is characteristic of a believer to be killing the deeds of the body, to be executing the Amalekites in his or her life and doing it by the power of the Spirit. That's what he's saying there. After declaring victory over sin in Romans 6, he then describes the ongoing battle with sin in Romans 7, and now he describes the triumphant experience that wins the battle and silences the conscience, and he says it is here, it is putting to death the deeds of the body, killing sin, hacking it to death. The distinctive behavior of those who are saved and those who are victorious over sin is they are continually putting their evil deeds to death. Killing them. As the King James says, mortifying sin. Paul is saying that that is a characteristic of a true believer. They put to death the deeds of the flesh, they kill sin. True believer will not act like Saul, who wanted to pamper and preserve Agag. But he will act like Samuel, who hacked him without mercy into pieces. Beloved, you can't tame the flesh. You can't make it a house pet. You can't coexist with it. You can't say, well, there's only a few of them out there. Let them run around. They're not going to harm anybody. Paul says you better get after all of them and kill them, just as God instructed his people to do with these marauding Amalekites. Dramatic action. Our Lord spoke of such dramatic action on several occasions. One of them is in Matthew 5, 29 and 30. When he said, if your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you, for it is better that you for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It is better for you that one of the parts of your body perish than for your whole body to go into hell. He's not calling for self-mutilation. He's calling for mortification. It's a very similar thing. You've got some things in your life you need to kill. And Paul is saying essentially the same thing back in Romans when he's talking about killing sin. Paul never promises a believer immediate freedom from sin's harassment. He doesn't say that in the great triumph all the Amalekites will die. He says you're going to have to keep putting them to death all through your life. And Paul doesn't say you can solve this problem with a crisis moment, second blessing, second work of grace, instant sanctification experience. Doesn't say that. He doesn't say you can solve it with a passive approach by saying, let go and let God. I can't do anything. I won't do anything. I'll just flop. I'll just sit back. I'm not going to get involved in this. I'm going to let God do it all. Paul doesn't say that. And he doesn't suggest some turning point decision of rededication or reconsecration at the end of an invitation after a sermon. He says what you've got to do is continually, unendingly, through all your life, as noted by the tense of the verb, be putting to death the deeds of the body. You're moving around, killing sins all the time. It's a continuous struggle, persistently putting to death the deeds of the flesh. He's not calling for some kind of life of physical pain. That's not the idea. I remember meeting a man who wore a belt next to his flesh that was filled with little needles because he wanted to rip and tear his flesh all the time so that he could somehow deal with his sin. He's not talking about that. I know of people in the history of the Catholic Church who put things like tacks and nails and rocks in their shoes in order to inflict pain on themselves, thinking somehow they could mortify sin. Paul is not calling for a life of self-inflicted pain. He is not asking for monastic deprivation. He is not asking for self-mutilation. He wants nothing to do with external self-punishment. He is describing rather a way of life that seeks to kill sin, crush it, sap it of its strength, deprive it of its influence, and thus yield a clear and a good conscience that brings peace and joy and rest, security, assurance, and hope. Basically, mortification of sin or the killing of sin involves the cultivation of new habits of godliness combined with the elimination of old habits of sin. On the positive side, you begin to do godly things. On the negative side, you stop doing sinful things. And that is a constant warfare to which we must remain perpetually committed.
Now go to gty.org/audioblog and get involved in the conversation. That's gty.org/audioblog.